Before we go any further, how many of you are familiar with a lady named Abigail? Okay. How many know there's an Abigail in the Bible? Oh, yeah. Okay. How many know that Abigail was a chosen vessel? And she had a husband that was a pain in the butt? Oh, yeah. Okay. Now, this message is not just for ladies. Okay? And it's about King David who's having a problem. And his problem is that his father-in-law not only gave away his wife, but wants him dead. How many would like to have a revelation of who wants you dead? Don't want to know. Well, I'm trying to give you insight. If you are being developed by the Holy Ghost to be like Jesus, Jesus is the Son of David. Come on. Amen. Say, connect those dots in my head. Jesus chose of all people to be the Son of David. So what David was like is a similitude of what Jesus tasted and went through. And God showed me that years ago, so that when we want to see a little bit of how Jesus was treated, we also get a picture, because if we look at his father, it's father like, yeah, the apple doesn't fall far from the
tree.
Thank you. I don't need to go any further. 1 Samuel chapter 25. In 24, you can check out how David was tested and how he decided to stay focused on the Lord and not to take revenge. And I don't want to go there. I want to go to the next level, because the Holy Spirit kept saying, I've got to show how sometimes you can overrule those that are in authority, those that are legally yours, but legally authority, and you can overrule it and still be obedient to God. That's going to be a little bit long, but I guarantee you it'll be worth it. Verse 1. Samuel died, and all Israel assembled and mourned for him, and they buried him in his home in Ramah. Then David moved into the desert of Maon. A certain man in Maon who had property there at Carmel was very wealthy. He had 1,000 goats and 3,000 sheep, which he was shearing in Carmel. His name was Nabal, and his wife's name was Abigail. She was an intelligent and beautiful woman. Say it with me. She was an intelligent and a beautiful woman. Otherwise, David would have never looked twice. But her husband, a Calebite, was surly and mean in his dealings. So in other words, everybody he dealt with wasn't exactly sweet. While David was in the desert, he heard that Nabal was shearing sheep. So he sent 10 young men and said to them, go up to Nabal at Carmel and greet him in my name, saying to him, long life to you, good health to you and your household, and good health to all that is yours. Now that's quite a blessing. Now I hear that it is shearing time. And when your shepherds were with us, we did not mistreat them. And the whole time they were at Carmel, nothing of theirs was missing. Ask your own servants, and they will tell you. Therefore, be favorable towards my young men, since we come at a festive time. Please give your servant and your son David whatever you can find for them. And when David's men arrived, they gave Nabal this message in David's name. Then they waited. Nabal answered David's servant, "Who is this David? Who is this son of Jesse? Many servants are breaking away from their masters these days. Why should I take my bread and water and meat I have slaughtered from my shearers and give it to men coming from who knows where?" Does that sound like a critical spirit? Is he judgmental? Is he finding fault? Is he justifying who? David's men turned around and went back. When they arrived, they reported every word, and David said to his men, "Put on your swords." So they put on their swords, and David put on his. About 400 men went up with David, while 200 stayed with the supplies. So he's got 600 with him, right? One of the servants told Nabal's wife, Abigail, "David sent messengers from the desert to give our master his greetings, but he hurled insults at them. Yet these men were very good to us. They did not mistreat us, and the whole time we were out in the fields near them, nothing was missing. Night and day, they were a wall around us all the time." Night and day, they were a wall around us all the time. Is that protection?
Yes.
Is that fellowship?
Yes.
"We were herding our sheep near them. Now think it over and see what you can do, because disaster is hanging over our master and his whole household. He is such a wicked man that no one can talk to him." Oh. How many of you have at least one person in your life that you had that experience with? Oh, just one. "Abigail lost no time." Hear me. Abigail lost no time. Why? "She took 200 loaves of bread, 2 skins of wine, 5 dressed sheep, 5 sheaves of roasted grain, 100 cakes of raisins, and 200 cakes of pressed figs, and loaded them on donkeys. Then she told his servants, 'Go on ahead, I'll follow you.' But she did not tell her husband, Nabal." Why? So what is she doing? Is she being defiant? Is she being a savior? She's being a savior, girl.
Okay.
You know why? Because she already knows that if she doesn't act, the whole house is going to be slaughtered. Okay? So there are times that the women have to shut up and act.
Amen.
I'm just telling you. Okay? And I will tell you that there are some that are reversed. There are times that the men have to shut up and act.
Amen.
Because the wife is not in coordinate. That may not be pleasant, but it's the truth. All right? And I'm not being angry at women. I'm not being angry at men. It's the nature of the beast. When somebody's being stupid and arrogant and blustery, they need to be stood up against. And without opening your mouth, you can obey. That's what this message is. "As she came riding her donkey," verse 20, "into a mountain ravine, there were David and his men descending towards her, and she met them. David had just said, 'It's been useless.'" Watch where he's living right now. "It's been useless. All my watching over this fellow's property in the desert so that nothing of his was missing. He has paid me back evil for. He has paid us back evil for. I've been nice all this time, taking care of this guy, blessing him, and look what he's doing to me." And he's on a tirade, isn't he? Verse 22. Watch this. "May God deal with David, be it ever so severely, if By morning, I leave alive one male of all who belong to him. So he's actually making a vow within himself. He is totally peed off, and he's going to operate and do some house cleaning here. Amen? Jesus. Yes or no?
Yes.
All right. 23. When Abigail saw David, she quickly got off her donkey and bowed down before David. What did she get off of? She got off her stubbornness. Because that's what that donkey she's riding represents. With her face to the ground, she fell at his feet and said, "My Lord, let the blame be on me alone." Did you hear that? She is not blaming her husband. She's not passing the buck and blaming him for being stupid and being a jerk. She is putting the blame on who? Is she not a picture of our Messiah?
Yes.
Did he not take your sins and mine?
Yes.
Yeah. My Lord, let the blame be on me alone. Please let your servant speak to you. Hear what your servant has to say. May my Lord pay no attention to the wicked man Nabal. Does she know what her husband is? He's wicked. He is just like his name. His name is Fool. And folly goes with him. But as for me, your servant, I did not see the men my master sent. Now, since the Lord has kept you, my master, from bloodshed, and from avenging yourself with your own hands, as surely as the Lord lives and as you live, may your enemies and all who intend to harm my master be like Nabal. And let this gift which your servant has brought to my master be given to the men who follow you. Please forgive your servant offense. Please forgive your servant's offense. For the Lord will certainly make a lasting dynasty for my master because he fights the Lord's battles. Let no wrongdoing be found in you as long as you live. Even though someone is pursuing you to take your life. So she's aware of King Saul's anger. The life of my master will be bound securely in the bundle of the living by the Lord your God. So she's identifying how she knows David. His reputation has gone ahead of him. Yes? She knows the same living Jesus that would come later. And she's aware that he's the one that's got his angels on the job surrounding David and company. But the lives of your enemies, he will hurl away as from the pocket of a sling. Why does she know about the pocket of a sling? Because she also remembers David was able to pull down Goliath with what? One little stone. So is she now giving a word of knowledge to David?
Yes.
Is he conscious of what he was about to do and now has relinquished and pulled back because of this woman called by God to awaken him about what he was about to do on his own because he was angry? I'm not saying he wasn't justified, but I am saying it takes Abigail's to wake up a man sometimes.
Come on.
All right. 30. When the Lord had done for my master every good thing he promised concerning him and has appointed him leader. She's aware of his anointing. Over Israel, my master will not have on his conscience the staggering burden of needless bloodshed or of having avenged himself. So she knows the nature of David. Why? Because she was married to a fool. Did she actually see the foolishness in David's choice? Did she see the 400 men? All right. And when the Lord had brought my master success, remember your servant. So now she's saying, wait a minute. When you're anointed and you have become the king, don't forget who I am and what I've done for you today. And David said to Abigail, praise be to the Lord. The God of Israel has sent you. He doesn't blame Nabal. Does he? Does he? No. He looks to the Lord as the supplying of this beautiful lady that has just come to meet him. He, again, I repeat, 32, David said to Abigail, praise be to the Lord. So the Lord is the focus. The God of Israel, who has sent you today to meet me. May you be blessed for your good judgment. Ha-ha. Amen. For keeping me, a next level, from bloodshed. Not when. This day. And from avenging myself from with my own hand. So now he's even confessing his weakness to her. Kind of cool, right? Otherwise, as surely as the Lord, the God of Israel, lives, who has kept me from harming you, if you had not come quickly to meet me, not one male belonging to Nabal would have been left alive by daybreak. Then David accepted from her hand what she had brought him and said, go home in peace. I have heard your words and granted your request. The king says, I have heard your words. Words have power and they had value, and it recreated the man. Yes or no? All right. I have heard your words. Try it on. Close your eyes. Say, I have heard God's word.
I have heard God's word.
And he will grant me my request.
And he will grant me my request.
When my heart is right.
When my heart is right.
Amen?
Amen.
36. When Abigail went to Nabal, he was in the household. I'm sorry, in the house, holding a banquet like that of a king. He was in high spirits and very drunk. So she told him nothing until daybreak. Then in the morning, now is there a time to shut up?
Yep.
Got it? Yep. Then in the morning, when Nabal was sober, his wife told him all these things, and his heart failed him, and he became like a stone. His heart became like a stone. About 10 days later, the Lord struck Nabal, and he died. So he had what? 10 days of grace to change his mind. When David heard that Nabal was dead, he said, praise be to the Lord, who has upheld my cause against Nabal for treating me with contempt. So who's able to handle your problem? The Lord took care of it. He has kept his servant from doing wrong, so he also is aware that if he had listened to his own emotions, he would have created what? He has kept his servant from doing wrong and has brought Nabal's wrongdoing down on his own head. Then David sent word to Abigail, asking her to become his wife. Get a clue, girl. Get a clue. Is that your king and my king saying, hey, you are my bride. This church is his bride. We are going to be called forth by the king. You say, well, that didn't say anything like that. Yes, it does. If you think about it a little higher. Are we not the bride to be? Are we not to become the wife of the king? Even though you've seen a lot of other women out there in the realm of the spirit, there's a lot of other churches out there. Who's the one that's going to get the goodies? The one who took care of the king. His servants, yeah, you better say wow. Verse 40. His servants went to Carmel and said to Abigail, David has sent us to you to take you to become his wife. Why would he do this? And then why would he choose this particular woman? Because she had done something he hadn't seen in other women. Yes or no? She was above the norm. She went out of her way to recognize the authority. She was compassionate. She was compelled to give. She was a giver, and he knew it. 41. Watch her reaction. She bowed down with her face to the ground and said, here is your maidservant, ready to serve you and wash the feet of my master's servants. With an S. Abigail quickly got on a donkey and attended by her five maids, Grace, went with David's messengers and became his wife. And David had also married Ahinoam of Jezreel, and they both were his wives. But Saul had given his daughter Michal, David's wife, to Paltiel, son of Laish, who was from Galim. That may not sound like much, but I remind you that if the king gave away his own daughter because he hated his son-in-law to another man, what kind of hurt did David have? What kind of pain did David have? So now he's got two other women to replace the one he lost because his father-in-law is wanting him dead and actually violates the marriage covenant. Michal was in love with David. She married him because she loved him. She tried to protect him. She actually did. She lied to her father's servants. And it goes on and on and on. Why am I giving you this message today? Because it was pressed into my heart for you to take hope tomorrow and be wise men and women of God. There are some that are going to try to lead you astray. There is some around you that may be selfish and not willing to do what needs to be done. But you and I have an example in Abigail that we are overcomers and that our King, Jesus, will call us into that space of becoming not only his bride-to-be, but his wife. Now close your eyes. Father, I thank you that this word will not come back void, that it will bless those that have been called by you and for your purpose alone, and that you will not only pour in wisdom for us to make wise decisions as men and women of God and as the bride of Christ to make sure that we are obedient to support those that you have chosen for us to support. We ask this in Jesus' name. And we thank you, Father, that you will awaken those that are asleep. Maybe going out to get drunk was their answer because they're trying to figure out something. Holy Spirit, you alone know what to do, and you alone, Father, are the great judge. And you will take care of those that have gone on and done wrong things to you and to your bride. I give you praise for your plan to unfold for everyone in this house. Even those that are not here, bless them today in Jesus' name.